Well, it's a great honour, actually, to be talking to our next guest. He had a lot to do with me at the start of my career because he was managing Shane Warne and other great players as well. So I got to know him very well, and he's brought out a book, and it's a great Christmas present because it talks about the changing of the game of cricket in the late 70s. And I think the game has, well, it has benefited from that, and this book is all about it. Austin Robinson, we call him Ocker. G'day, Ock.
Swats, how are you, mate?
Oh, I'm great.
Great to hear the sound of your voice.
Oh, it's lovely to hear you, mate. And this book, mate, it looks fantastic. It's obviously the story that changed the history of the game in this country.
Yeah, pretty much, mate. I think, to me, it's in many ways, it's a book of firsts. This is the first time, you know, there's been a lot of books about World Series cricket, all pretty much written from the outside. And this one is different in as much as that it comes from the people really who put the whole thing together. You know, obviously there's three huge names missing from there, and that's obviously the big fella Kerry, Tony Gregg, and my great mate Rich. They aren't there. There's fabulous chapters in the book about them, a lot of thoughts from 48 different contributors. But basically, everyone else who had a hand in World Series cricket is in the book. And I've got to say that I'm very proud of it, to be honest. Very proud. And it's been a fantastic job pulling it all together.
Yeah, and well done on you doing that, because to get the inside view is... And I know they did that mini-series... Ock, and I don't know what sort of true indication it was at the time. It was
right.
It was good watching, but yeah. it was set up for TV, so there were probably things that happened that didn't happen.
And I enjoyed it.
I believe that's probably the case. But I want to talk about Tony Gregg, because to think of his career as England captain, to remove himself from that to help Kerry, what a move for a player at the time.
Mate, an enormous effort from Tony. Funnily enough, I didn't... Well, this was actually before I met him. Didn't like him all that much. He wasn't what you'd call the most popular figure in Australian cricket. Actually, you know, ending up England captain and so on. But you know, fairly aggressive sort of bloke. But I met him actually for the first time during the centenary test when we actually signed him up. Actually, in John Cornell's backyard, all sitting around a table, as I recall. But he was a great guy. He had a great sense of humour. And I don't think anyone really got hold of the fact that how much pressure and the risk that he took was probably bigger than anybody's when you look back at it. The animosity in England towards World Series cricket was actually huge and quite vicious. And Tony showed great strength of character. You know, from not knowing him and not really liking the form of him much, he became a very firm friend in the finish. Mm-hmm. You know, it's also interesting to just note that Ian Chappell and Tony Gregg didn't like each other much at the beginning either, but they ended up very firm friends.
Yeah, they did.
And Greggy was a wonderful bloke.
Yeah,
he gave me a hard time in the comm box.
Yeah,
let me tell
you. Yeah.
But I could see it was tough love, and I didn't mind that. He's the Afrikaans mentality and had a tough upbringing, but tough love. But his stories on Kerry Packer, I could sit and listen to them all day. It was just outstanding.
That's what I wanted to ask Austin. You've got the whole chapter in there, and it's very much about Kerry Packer, but is there one particular moment that you thought, well, Kerry, you are a genius? You know, what's your favourite Kerry story, Austin?
Mate, like you said, there are so many stories about Kerry, but you don't know where to start. Finish. I think you mentioned earlier the Southern Star production, how's that, Kerry Packer was. It was one of the reasons why I wrote the book in the first place. And when I say I wrote it, it's really written by 48 others, and I introduce each chapter. And, of course, my thoughts are at the beginning of the book. And I've written all the immemorial things, and everyone's pretty well commented on the big three. But the thing that sort of annoyed me about the Southern Star production was the fact that Kerry was viewed only as a sort of a foul-mouthed, foolish
tyrant, wasn't he? Yeah.
Bull in a china shop, if you will.
Yeah.
It was much, much more than that. I saw him anguish over 45 minutes what to actually put in the Kerry Packer Christmas hamper that was given all to the Packer employees, and there were hundreds of them. He had the turkey, the ham, the shortbread and everything else, the plum pudding. He couldn't make up his mind between the white wine and the red wine, so he put them both in. And all this came in a wonderful case.
You know they eventually stopped those hampers, Austin.
No, they're still there.
Well, they must have come back.
No, I got my last one last year because they said, no, Slatch, you're a contractor, so this is your last.
Oh, there you go.
So you've actually got one of these, have you?
Yeah, no, I think I'm out this year, mate.
But look, he's a wonderful bloke. I can remember going there one time for lunch, and the lunch was brilliant. I don't know quite how I remember this from 40 years ago, but I actually remember what we had. It was these wonderful tomatoes, seafood, and all sorts of different things, which was just brilliant. The filet mignon was superb. Mm. The sweets were a pavlova type thing with peaches on, which was really the only thing that Kerry ate.
Yes.
And after feasting for about an hour and a half or so, we all moved into the ante room next door, and we're all sitting around there, and he sort of looked up a little bit expectantly and said, is anybody hungry? Would anyone like a crumpet?
A crumpet? And,
I couldn't actually believe that he was thinking of actually eating a crumpet with Vegemite half an hour after the magnificent feast that we just had. And half an hour later, he got out his elephant gun and blew a hole the size of a basketball in the Moreton Bay fig tree.
Yes.
30 feet away, right in the heart of Bellevue Hill. I think the noise alone would have disturbed the seagulls on Bondi Beach. He was just a marvellous character and wonderful to be around.
Ock, once the players had signed and arrived, obviously now you've got to formulate a series that worked. And I don't know what you're thinking, putting the West Indies in pink. No wonder they were fierce.
No wonder they blew up.
That was the change in their cricket. That's when the bowlers fired up.
I'm not wearing that.
And it was funny, but it was serious at the same time. I think they had, they were sort of all, everybody was in awe of Kerry. And at one stage, Kerry actually threatened to send the whole West Indies team home. This was very early on when they weren't pulling their weight. But I can remember the day that the parade and the wall team in their light blue, which looked terrific. And when I say teams, there was only a couple of players dressed up in the blue, a couple in the yellow, and we had Viv and Desmond dressed up in the pink. And of course, there was Clive and half a dozen of the West Indies along to see how the. And this was all to see how the colours would work on TV. And the West Indies were falling about with hilarity when Bibby and Gordon walked out in their clothes. But they weren't thrilled about it, I've got to be honest. It was sort of an issue until of course, it all worked on TVs. And, as I say, they were in awe of Kerry, and pretty much anything he wanted, everybody did.
Ock, we thank you for your time, mate. It will be, I've stolen a copy, mind you, and it's going to be a terrific read. It's from the inside, I know. How's your good mate John Cornell going?
Mate, I don't hear a lot.
Yeah, I know he suffered.
He's in the book. I haven't spoken to him a great deal lately, but I believe not great. He's got Parkinson's disease, which has been pretty well publicised. I think it's a bit of a struggle. I think some days are better than others. But we obviously wish him well and hope everything's okay. But I think just to finish that, this is a book of firsts. First time John has said anything. Linton Taylor gives you an idea of the business side of World Series cricket, and that's never ever been told before. It's just a terrific all-round. And even the stuff from David Hill and Warren Burkery and B.C. Morelli, all written chapters. And I promise you, you will enjoy it. It's a cricket book, sure, but it's a lot more than that.
Yeah, lovely to chat, Ock. Now, your responsibility is to organise that function in Perth like last year, okay? All right, you better go now.
Good on you, mate.
We thank Austin Robertson.